Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
So what am I doing? What am I saying? I'm just saying.
Whatever you want.
You say the name of the show, and then and you say something funny.
Yeah, no, we're not going to put you on the spot or anything, but make sure it's funny.
Yeah, don't suck.
Don't suck.
Yeah, and go. Cricket.
You cut out long pauses, right?
Hey, look, we got some new intro music.
We did.
Yes. Welcome to Shooting the Breeze, folks.
Well, this is awkward. It's actually Slamfire Radio now.
And was that, like, painful for you, Owen?
I think it was, yeah. He's not used to this sort of... Don't you do your own podcast?
Yes, and I write everything down.
Oh, I see.
So when you go to a job interview, do you literally read off of your resume? Is that like how you function?
In point form and everything. He does pretty good face-to-face. Now, we really should introduce ourselves for those of us who don't know who
those
we are.
Those of us who don't know each other.
Yeah, so who are you?
Really hurt.
Me?
For us to tell.
Come on, Owen. Who are you?
This is the problem with the internet. I don't know. Who are you looking at?
It's on your driver's license.
Right. And in my case, it's sewn to the inside of waistband of my undies.
If lost, please return to.
That's right. Oh, well, I'm Owen Flewelling.
The warrior.
Sure.
If you will. Trevor, we got the Ferlate here, do we not?
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll he's kind of in and out. And of course, we've got Warning Shot McClatchy kicking in for the ride here. And we got a special guest this week.
Aw, yeah. Straight out of the T-Dot.
Well, thanks for joining us, Chris. It was a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, we'll get you back again sometime. You did
definitely.
A great job.
Yeah,
it's been wonderful. You're treating me like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel.
I'm a demon.
I'm a demon.
So yeah, we got Chris Anderson. Shut up, Trevor. Host of Chris Anderson Presents, right? Isn't that the name of your show? Something like that?
You got it.
Oh, look at that. First try and everything.
Yeah.
So we kind of invited Chris on. We're just going to kind of sit back and talk a little bit about the history of pro-gun podcasting in Canada, kind of where it all came from, maybe some of the backstory. I don't know.
You know, I kind of get the feeling from listening to your podcast that this is a podcast that sort of breaks some of the traditional rules of a show.
What?
So I thought I'd break a couple of rules today on the show.
Okay.
So first, I want you guys to here, listen to this. I'm going to...
Oh,
did you hear that?
Yeah,
I know
we
that
heard
sound.
That. Yeah.
Okay, now, can you identify the scotch by sound?
Well, I know it was a 5-pound cork pull.
Okay, very good, very good.
Clear.
Okay.
It's a single malt.
Did you pour it? Yeah, you got to pour it before
to
tell.
Now, guess the age. Guess the age.
Pour it.
Okay. I'll pour it. Here we go.
Oh, that's 18 year for sure.
No, 15.
Very close, Trevor. It's 14.
Oh, only one off. I was only off by 4, though, really. When you think about it, that's way closer than Trevor's guess.
Oak cask.
Yes, oak cask. Yes. Yes, very good.
And is it Dr. Pepper?
Well, actually, hold on a second. Let's go through the scotch first. It's actually a 14-year-old Oban, which is very nice. But I poured it in the glass, and just listen to the glass.
Oh, those whiskey stones.
No,
that's ice.
It's ice.
And he's mixing it with Dr. Pepper.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, hold on a second.
Stop!
Do it!
Hold on, here it comes.
Oh my god, please tell me it's another glass.
There it is.
Sound amazing?
That sounds amazing.
Now this may be the first
time... Now ride the slide on your 1911, devil man.
The gun's in the safe. I got other props today. And it's a little dirty, so I didn't want it on my nice clean desk. But here, I'm going to take a sip. I've never done this before. I don't think anyone has. Hold on.
What, Dr. Pepper and Scotch?
No, Dr. Pepper and 14-year-old Oban.
Oh, what was that? You didn't just do that.
Oh, yes, he did.
Wow, it's really good.
I told you! I told you! Vindicated once again.
Matt, I apologize for giving you a hard time for the, what was it, the 10-year-old, I don't know, maybe
it was Talisker, was it
Talisker,
not?
Talisker, yes, it was Talisker from the Isle of Skye.
Yes.
I apologize for giving you a hard time for that. You know, we'll break a few rules tonight, so.
No. We certainly will.
No. Free agent, if any podcast out there is looking for a Canuck to... can't work with these guys anymore.
Trevor's in.
Now, I understand that someone, I don't know if it was on Facebook or if it was on the forum, complained saying that the podcast needed more cowbell.
Oh, yes. Somebody did mention the cowbell.
All right. Okay, Matt, I want you to count me in like you're counting in someone on like a rock and roll song, like 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay,
right.
You ready?
No, I know how to do that.
Okay, go for it.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Did you hear that?
That was just one. We need more cowbell. We need more
cowbell. Well, that's
cowbell.
The thing. You see, we have to determine how much cowbell. So I thought
there's never too much cowbell.
The thing is, that sounded more like a snare drum than a cowbell, to be quite honest with you.
No. Okay. Here, let's get it a little closer to the mic. Okay, count me in again.
All right. And a one. And a two. And a 1, 2, 3. Oh, yeah. There's the cowbell right there.
So we've added cowbell. We've desecrated single malt scotch.
Yeah.
So I think we're off to a good start.
Yeah. If there are any listeners left,
that intro, I'm going to get a scotch.
I'm just going to continue like the rest of the podcast. I'm just going to eat chips.
Right.
Through the whole thing. And I'm going to flick my knife open and closed constantly.
On a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
Can we pause the show here for a second? Was it your idea to get this guy on?
I don't know who this guy is. And
Shortest podcast run in history. Shooting the Breeze died after only 4 episodes.
3. This is only our 3rd. We jumped the shark on the 3rd episode. Here we are.
I had to help you guys with that.
I think Owen actually left to go get a drink.
He did, in fact. Yeah. And really,
I think he's back.
I'm back.
You didn't miss anything, Owen.
No, not at all.
So, Matt, let's get us back on topic. You were saying that you wanted to talk about...
There was a topic?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know... We were talking to, I don't remember who we were talking to, but somebody was saying how it was, you know, it was crazy that it took this long for a pro-gun podcast to kind of pop up in Canada. I mean, it's not like Canada is a small country, and it's not like we, you know, are at the wrong end of the technology spectrum or anything. You know, we're pretty up there. We know what's going on with the computers and interwebs and doohickeys and whatchamacallits, but it took till 2010 before we actually got a podcast up and running, and... You know.
I don't know, man. We just got telephone in our igloos out here.
Now, does your igloo have a basement?
No. My igloo is built on solid ice.
Solid ice. Yep. The ice goes right down to China.
And here in northern New Brunswick, where it's slightly warmer, we have Quonset huts.
Right.
And I do have a two-story Quonset hut.
A two-story Quonset?
Well, a story and a half, right? It's like a bungalow with a basement. You know?
Yeah.
Because you have to put your furnace in the basement, obviously.
But you know what they say about bungalows? There just ain't much going on upstairs, right?
Oh, especially at this one.
So, yeah, Chris, you were kind of in on the ground floor, I guess. That's kind of why I wanted you on the show this week.
Oh, yeah.
Can you kind of dig deep into your history banks there and kind of tell us a little bit about how everything all kind of rolled together?
Well, the actual... concept for the podcast came up on the Canadian Gun Nuts forum. So if it wasn't for CGN, there probably never would have been a Canadian pro-gun podcast to start off. So that's the place where it all started. But the actual moment of conception was on April 26, 2010.
Let me guess, at 11:20 p.m.
No, 10:20. Well, does it display? Maybe it's local time for wherever you're at.
Yeah, it's local time. So,
at Toronto time, 10:20, East Coast time, 11:20 p.m.
Well, of course, Toronto's the center of the universe, so let's go with the 10:20.
All right, so we'll say it's 10:20. And a thread was put up called, "Why Don't We Start a Podcast?" And the guy who put it up, he went by the handle One Wheel Doing 200. And
that
we know
was,
him
of
as,
course, the
I
venerable
yeah.
Mike Dixon.
Yeah. Mike Dixon. Mike Dixon is the godfather of Canadian pro-gun podcasting.
Not the godfather of shooting in Canada.
No.
Clearly.
But the godfather of Canadian podcasting, he's actually the one who posted up the thread that got the first Canadian gun podcast going. And he was the first original member to be on the podcast and the second original member to post up in that thread and join up on the podcast was me.
Yep, that's right. You kicked in there at scrolling down
6:33 p.m. on April 28th, 2010.
Yep.
Yeah.
Double up buck sitting there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then from then we also have the third member,
which was actually right after your post by
9 minutes.
9 minutes later.
9 minutes later.
Andrew Craig, also known as Spartan 308.
Yeah.
So then, yeah.
From that group, we got it off the ground. But it was astonishing. Until then, I hadn't explored looking for a Canadian gun podcast. And maybe there was one that predates ours that just pod faded and disappeared that no one knows about. Like it's
completely possible. Completely possible. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know of it, but if it's out there, someone knows, you know,
well,
send it out.
Why don't you hook up with the Canadian Reload Radio Network? We'll unpod fade you. Look at that. Trevor can't even turn off his highly technological cell phone there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the birth of the podcast. And I think the first episode was just Mike and Andy. But then after that, I think for the first 25 episodes, it was the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I branched off and started making my own podcasts. And for a really long time, I was posting on the forum and I was like, you know, saying on my podcast episodes, hey, everyone, it's real easy to make a podcast. All you have to do is just, you know, Skype your friends, hit record. Put it up on the internet, and for the longest time, no one started a podcast.
There was nothing. It took ages before somebody else kicked in.
Yeah, it took forever. I was shocked. I couldn't believe. And then suddenly, a whole bunch of people started podcasting all at once, which was great.
Yeah, now we've got like seven others now, something like that.
It's a lot of podcasts.
I can't count much past potato, so.
I didn't even know what a podcast was until Canadian Reload Radio.
Really?
Yeah. I'd never... I mean, I'd heard the word, I heard the term, but it was just kind of one of these things that, you know...
That hipsters did.
Geeky hipsters did.
Them yuppie girls in the city.
Yeah, I just find it's easiest to describe it if someone doesn't know. You say, you know radio shows? And they're like, yeah, it's a radio show on your computer.
Yeah, that's how I explain it too. It's just an internet-based radio show.
Yeah, I've had to explain it to guests. I've had guests that don't know what a podcast is.
What am I on anyway? What station can I tune into to hear this?
Yeah, they're like, I've agreed to do this, but what is it? Or I've had people fix their hair and their shirt before, you know.
That's
I'm like, no, well, it's audio only. I had someone clean up their desk once. It's like throwing stuff off their desk into piles on the floor. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like,
well, the microphone adds 5 pounds, right?
Like it's audio. There's no one will see you.
Only to your head, Matthew.
Ah.
When you become a celebrity.
When I become a celebrity, right.
You haven't done yet.
No, I'm out.
Well, actually, that's a good side
segue?
Topic. Yeah. What about, like, you get the podcast up, you get it going, and you know that there's some people out there listening to it because you get a few 5-star ratings and you know it's been downloaded, but you don't really ever at first think you're actually going to meet people who have listened to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we go around and start with, we'll start with you, Matt, and then we'll go around and see what it's actually been like to meet people who have listened to the podcast. Like, what was your first meeting with a listener?
Well, I met Trevor.
That was YouTube, though. You had to tell me what a podcast was, just like Chris has to tell people.
But I still think you were the first listener I ever met.
Tell the YouTube story, then.
Okay. Oh, well, the YouTube story. Oh, you tell it, Trev.
No, it's your turn to talk.
Oh, yes, gosh. So. Let's be all polite and Canadian and whatnot, eh? You hoser. I'm going to go sit on that Chesterfield for a while and put on my toque. All right, so we're at, what was this, 2 years
Black
ago
Badge,
now, Trev?
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years ago at the Black Badge at the Rusty Goose Gun Club in Dalhousie.
So the skinny guy walks in with these 22 arms, and I'm like, I know that face, right? He's got one of those faces, and I never forget a face. So I'm like, where do I know this guy from? So I walk up to the dude, like not that night, the next day we're at the range and I'm like, I know you.
Yep. Yeah. I remember this. I remember this exact conversation.
I'm like, are you on YouTube? He's like, yeah, I am. I said, well, you're a teacher or something, right? Cause I saw one of your videos. You had like students in the car. You were taking them to the gun range.
I totally commented on your channel about, like, I'm a teacher too and I shoot guns too. Dude, like, no reply? What the hell? And he's So, anyway, the one of the first videos that I saw was when he received his antique pistol. I learned so much when I first got into, started into the gun culture and started into guns. It's almost like my initiation into firearms was really pushed along through Matthew's YouTube channel. Because Matthew, in the beginning, was doing a lot of, this is what it's like in Canada, this is what's legal, this is what's not legal. And that one video that he put up about his antique pistol, I learned more in that one video than I learned in dozens of other, you know, quote-unquote Canadian YouTube channel videos. So that's how I walked right up to him, like, I know you from YouTube.
And he slobbered on me just a little bit. I had to wipe it off and put readjust his helmet. And
yeah, but Matt, what was your reaction to all this?
I don't think there was.
He gave me his number. We've been friends ever since.
That's basically what happened. Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, it's my only fan. Please call me and be my friend.
No, whoa! I never said I was your fan. Said I saw your stuff.
Yeah. Now, do you remember how many views that video had at the time?
Oh, no, I don't remember at the time. No, I have no idea.
It's probably like a couple hundred or something, right?
Oh, sure. Probably somewhere in that range.
Yeah. But still, like, you met someone off of it, and it turned out to be, you know, a great friendship. So, you know, that's awesome. Like, you got some really good payoff from that. So, so Trevor, would you say, let's go with... let's go with Reload Radio listeners. What was your first encounter? We'll exclude the Matt story and say which was your first encounter with someone who listens to the show.
Well, since Trevor cut me off and told my story, I'm going to tell his.
Okay.
Because I don't remember mine.
So he's in Calgary. That's the first time you met a listener, right, Trevor, in Calgary?
I'll be honest, Matthew and Chris, I don't remember the first time that a stranger identified themselves as, hey, I know you from Canadian Reload Radio. But the weirdest one, the most obvious one, was Calgary at the gun show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's standing there at this table and fondling some guns, of course. I mean, what else do you do at a gun show, right? And this guy next to him, he's never seen him before. The guy just turns to him casually and says, what do you think about this, Trevor?
Just like that.
Trevor's like,
weird.
Who are you?
Wow.
And how do you know my first name?
Yeah. No, dude's talking to me like he knows me. That was so weird.
Wow. Interesting. So I guess what happened? You engaged them in conversation and
And I lied. I pretended I knew what I was talking about, and I just totally sent him in the wrong direction. No, we were at the Canadian BDX booth, and I was talking to the owner of Canadian BDX and telling him that I was a client of Mo Hepworth's. And the regular listeners will know that Mo is the best shooter in New Brunswick and up until recently supplied Matthew and I with all our projectiles, primers, and powder. And now we're sales and well customers.
Only because Serge lives closer and is more scary than Mo. That's the only reason why.
mostly. Yeah, keeping the family kind of thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not sure I've switched off of Mo entirely. But anyway, so I'm talking to him about Mo and stuff. And so we're talking about ammo, and the guy next to me says, yeah, so Trevor, where'd you get the Redline precision parts for your Sub 2000? I'm like, what?
What?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
That's how it started.
So what was going through your head at the time? You were like, were you just trying to figure out how to get through the conversation, or did it?
Well, because especially given the topic, right? He was asking me about Redline Precision, who doesn't ship to Canada, and my Sub 2000 is full of Redline Precision parts. So what do I tell the guy, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just follow the forums or follow the exchanges and look for secondhand stuff for sale online in Canada and don't ask how they got it.
So here's another question. At that moment that happened, did you feel famous or did you feel, it like a different feeling than anything else?
It was, and I want the listeners to know that I'm just a guy. I'm a guy who likes to shoot, and I talk about it on a podcast.
Let me tell you, folks, he is just a guy.
I'm just one man. No more just one man trying.
He puts his pants on one leg at a time.
And just sometimes like the rest they get them on right.
All right, so Owen, you have a newer podcast, so you haven't been podcasting for as long. Have you run into a listener yet who you didn't already know?
No, I don't think I have, actually. I don't think I've run into, but I don't really leave the house a lot.
Perpetuate no. the stereotype, oh, no. that a boy.
So you're bugged in. That's the problem.
I'm already bugged in. I'm hunkered down and waiting. No.
does believe he's coming back.
No, I don't think I've met anybody that really listens to the show.
Well, you're into prepping.
I didn't already know.
So yeah. As someone who's into prepping, have you prepared for your first encounter? That's a serious question.
How do you prepare for that? I don't know. I mean, everybody's different in the situation and who they are and what they're into specifically is going to dictate how you react. So it's pretty hard to prepare for something like that.
Yeah, I think that's the weird thing is that it's something that you can't really anticipate. And I guess at some point in the back of your mind, you might think that you'll eventually run into someone who's listened to your show, but there is no real way to prepare to engage with people. But I remember the first time I ran into someone who listened to my shows, and it was at Target Sports. It was at an open house day, and I was actually doing interviews, and I was waiting in line to get into the shooting bays, and there was a young guy behind me, a young Filipino guy, and he goes, "Hey, you have that podcast, right?" And of course, at the time, I had my hair blue. It's actually blue today. And on the podcast, I'd regularly mention if I was going to be at an event, I'm the guy with the blue hair. If you see someone with blue hair, it's probably me. So come up and say hi. And, you know, it's always nice to meet you.
Meanwhile, Papa Smurf keeps getting, hey, aren't you that podcaster? Who the heck are you?
Yeah. So
Papa Smurf had white hair. Where were you in the 80s?
We had the red hat.
Yeah.
I think he's a member of a different club than me. So anyways, I say, yeah, I've got podcasts up. And he goes, you know, I got into shooting because of you.
Oh, that's really cool.
And I was like, wow, well, you know, that's fantastic.
People tell Matthew all the time they got out of shooting because of him.
Yeah, but that was the first encounter that I ever had with someone who listened to the podcast. But the fact that they told me that they got into shooting because they listened to the podcast was huge. That was absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, really cool.
And I, of course, thanked him very much for listening and talked with him for a little while. And I've seen him since at CGN get-together. He's a nice guy. But it was just one of those things where you go, wow, the podcast actually really does make a difference. Someone actually became a gun owner and got into shooting because, at least in part, they listened to the podcast. So that kind of feedback, more than any kind of like internet feedback or five-star ratings or anything else, to hear in person from someone that they not only enjoy the show, but it actually had an influence on them getting into the sport, that's amazing. So that was my first one. And since then, I've met actually quite a few people who've recognized me, usually because of the hair. And it always starts off, hey, you're the guy with the blue hair from the podcast? And I go, yeah, that's me. And we usually just have a little polite conversation and that's it. But I do get some weird comments. The one that's weird, like, you know, when people meet a famous person, they go, oh, I thought he'd be taller. So that kind of thing.
Yeah.
People have said to me, oh, I thought you were older. I thought you were old. And I'm like, oh.
Interesting, because I remember the first time I saw you on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the voice in the podcast and the face on Facebook and they don't match. I'm sorry. I didn't think you were older, but
it's funny how you get preconceptions
absolutely.
About you know, just by people's voices, and you just don't know. I remember the first time I saw the pictures of the gun dudes, and you know, I identified who they were, and I'm like, "Whoa, Stan is old."
Oh, I was like,
sorry, Stan.
I was like, for you know, for an 80-year-old, he looks great. That's what I thought. Tommy's birthing hips were nowhere near as wide as I expected them to be.
And Carl just wasn't that short.
Carl's actually shorter.
Yeah, way shorter.
So I don't know. I guess, Chris, I expected you to look a little less goofy.
Oh, okay.
How's that for awkward?
But it is interesting because it's an audio podcast. I mean, if they go to the actual podcast page, they can see what we look like. But, you know, if they're an iTunes user, all they're getting is that download of the audio. They never actually see us.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to go on is the voice, really. So when you're getting engaged by that person who's heard you, they probably never actually seen you. So that's kind of a weird thing, I think, for the listener, is that they sort of take a look and they go, oh, was that? I think it is. And then start the conversation.
They totally look at me and go, the face does not match the sultry voice, right? We expected some James Bond suave looking guy, and we got this thing. Got goatee, bald head, what the glasses? What? Yeah.
What was that comment somebody said? You sound like you have more hair.
No. Trevor's bald. Trevor doesn't sound bald.
He doesn't sound bald. That's
what
it was.
That was Kosky.
He doesn't sound bald.
Thanks, Steve.
That right there is funny.
That's why he peed in all seven of his toilets.
That's right. He's only got six.
Yeah, one was a sink.
Very good.
Yeah, but as a result of like meeting people, I have to say I don't feel famous either. Like, I am really just like an average person, like regular guy.
I know. Come on, guys. We talk and we record it and we put it on the internet. And we're in Canada. We're talking about guns. We're the farthest thing from famous you could ever hope for.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I mean, and the other thing too is that, I mean, I don't know. I can't really pull the average Joe card as much as other people because I am pretty weird. So
blue hair? What? No, everybody's blue hair, right?
Blue hair is normal in Toronto, but you know, like I'll go to the Sportsman Show,
right?
And I'll bring my wife with me, and we'll leave the Sportsman Show, and she'll go, wow, you know, all the guys in there were wearing camo, and they had big muscles and beards and mustaches. And they weren't ironic mustaches or ironic beards like hipsters have. And, you know, and they all had that, like, you know, rednecks or the tan from being out in the woods and all that stuff. And she's like, wow, honey, you look like a total metrosexual compared to them.
And it's, oh, thanks, dear. But you shouldn't have.
It's true. Compared to the average person, I think, who listens to the podcast, I'm a straight up girly man. Like, I, you know, like city boy and all that stuff. So it's actually hard for me to throw in with, you know, the average honest hardworking man, because I have like girl hands. Like, I work on a keyboard all day. Like, that's basically what I do. So
I can funny, see that. You sound so manly and tough though.
Oh, do I?
No.
Actually, you know what? Speaking of manly and tough, Owen, you were saying that upcoming episode, you're going to have a friend, trying to have a friend of yours on who's a mechanic. And talk about some bug out vehicles and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. He's my mechanic. He's a good friend of mine and knows his stuff. And so I've asked him to come on and talk about a couple different topics, not necessarily bug out vehicles, though we may touch on that, but more prepping for your vehicle. So we will talk on what's the best vehicle to have and things like that. But we'll also talk about what should you do to your vehicle now to keep it in tip-top shape for something. You know, what extra parts should you keep around? What skills should you learn to keep your car running? Because let's face it, if you do have, you know, the fuel to move it and get it around,
you need the oil.
There's probably not going to be a lot of extra parts if something breaks. You know, things like that, because with a collapsed economy, you know, those mega factories aren't going to be shipping stuff halfway around the world.
So, Owen, yes. are you saying it's important that if your car burns 3 gallons of oil or 3 liters of oil at a time, that that's probably the kind of car you want to ditch and maybe upgrade?
I'm just saying.
Are you talking about my car, Trevor?
Just saying that.
Car Raise your hand if your car needed 3 liters of oil before lunch last weekend.
Oh, wow. That'd be me. I should tell you that my car broke down on the way to the range, and it's on its way to the junkyard tonight. So.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Finally, give up the ghost.
See, I was going to say that. That vehicle is the one that you use for concealment and cover at the end of the driveway.
It certainly blends in, yes. Let me tell you.
However, that vehicle, being a Toyota, has 600+ thousand kilometers on it, all right?
663,253. It's where she died.
Is that for real?
Dead serious.
That's for real.
That's insane.
My wife's Echo has got 400,000 plus.
Wow. Yeah,
well, she's got another 200,000 before it's going to die like mine.
I mean, my Sonic is coming up on 1 year in 3 days, and it's got 52.
Wow. You guys drive a lot out there.
Yeah, we don't live
near anything. Nothing, literally.
And we still got to get to Toronto and Vermont with that thing.
Mm.
So yeah, not my thing, clearly.
Yeah.
Your buddy who's a mechanic, does he know how to fix a bad tranny?
Wait, you mean transmission,
right? Transmission.
Well, usually in Toronto, we fix a bad tranny by telling them to take their purple wig off.
Oh, everybody who is watching my Facebook would see that.
Dude.
Glass house, don't throw stones.
Hey, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, on Facebook, who was it who posted that picture of you, Matt?
That's
that
my
you?
Sister.
Matt's sister posted a picture of Matt
wearing a wig
with this tranny wig and like bright purple. Dude, by the way, if you're going to go out and try and find this photo, make sure that you haven't eaten in 2 hours.
It was an 80s rock band themed Halloween party or something like that.
Joan Jett, maybe.
Yeah, it was horrible, but it was fun. I gotta tell you, we had a good time that night.
Oh, it's a terrible picture though, man.
Horrible.
What you do on Friday ends up on Facebook on Saturday. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, well, we do now.
Look on the bright side, Matt. I've worked at some houses where the women had better beards.
Oh, beauty. I like it.
Yeah, but you're in Carleton County where the men are men and the sheep are nervous.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Hear anybody piping up, do you?
That would be Zealand, sorry. We're a long way from Zealand.
No respectable sheep will live in Zealand.
That's funny. Yeah. All right, well, let's bring this back to guns somehow or podcasts or something.
Yeah, well, here's a good question for the podcasting thing. What's the best thing that's come out of podcasting for you? Like, since you started it, what is one of the best or brightest things that's changed about your life? Maybe we'll start with Matt and go around again.
I don't know. Can you hear that?
I can hear that. AR-15?
Oh, 5-pound trigger pull right there. Yep.
Actually, that is a pretty amazing story.
And I can't say that's the best thing that's happened. I really can't. It was a really cool thing that happened. Hmm. But to be perfectly honest, the best thing that's happened is actually it was Trevor and Owen and Andy and you and Mike and all the guys that I've met.
I was going to play the friendship card.
Like, seriously, the amount of people that I've met and become friends with since coming on the show has just been phenomenal. And just, you know, that whole experience of meeting up with everybody has just been, I mean, literally, that's the best thing that's ever happened because of that. So, sorry if you guys are getting all misty-eyed and whatnot, but, you know, had to go there.
I'm holding you to that, man.
Yeah, I wasn't really talking about you, but everybody else for sure.
Yeah. Although getting sent parts to assemble an AR-15 is pretty amazing.
That's got to be definitely top three. I mean, for sure. I mean,
well, also I think it may even be a gun podcasting first. I mean, I'm sure other people with sponsored podcasts have gotten product sent, but I'm not sure anyone's ever donated components to build a gun
to a host. Yeah, Jake Challen over at AR-15 podcast was building one to give away as a prize or something, but. Like you said, all the parts were donated by vendors, not companies.
Not by listeners, yeah.
Yeah. So, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I think that really goes to show how tight the gun community, especially in Canada, is.
Yeah.
You know, and how much, especially Canadian Real Radio, but because it's kind of one of a kind in Canada, everybody kind of rallies around it and holds it up as this, you know, symbol of unity almost. I don't want to, you know, praise it up too much, but you know what
right.
I mean?
Like, you never know how the host will react to that. I might get
big heads or something, but
right.
because it's not like where we've got a million gun podcasts and every time you turn around, you could listen to a new one. There is so few of them that everybody has to listen to that if that's what they want to listen to. You know, if they want to listen to a gun podcast, they've got to listen to these few. And so because of that, everyone kind of has this family type feel with each other because, hey, we all listen to the same show. We all, you know, hear the same things. We know the same hosts and we're in on the jokes and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
Absolutely.
I think that AR is kind of symbolizes that in a way that everybody just was comfortable in doing something like that, where I don't think you see that. I mean, I know those people from the States sent some stuff up, but they were listening to Canadian shows, you know. I don't think you'd see that in the States where every time you turn around, there's another gun podcast.
Yeah, no, we've got some pretty amazing growth, and actually, your show started from humble beginnings. I think you actually started off solo casting, where it was just you and the mic. So yeah, that's something that I haven't done personally. And Matt, I don't think you and Trevor have done solo casts either.
Not intentionally. So, there was one episode back around 30 or 40 of CRR where I was, you know, Andy's like, oh, I'm out. And Mike was like, oh, I'm out. And I'm like, oh, crap, it's just me.
Yeah.
So I wrangled Curtis into helping me. And then he did help me with one of them. But another one, he fell asleep. So I ended up doing that show by myself. And I'm sure it was painful. So
yeah,
I got to say, Owen, you know, my hat's off to you whenever you do pull off a good show.
Yeah, well, if you're up to episode 40, I mean, you've got an established format and some things to fall back on, maybe some viewer mail.
That's
right. That kind of thing to help you through. So it's solo, but it's not totally solo. And Owen, I can just imagine you sort of like when you have to write an essay or a short story, you've got that, you know, blank page of paper, or if you're, you know, younger generation, that flashing cursor and
the
blank
screen.
And it's just like, where do I begin? So why don't you tell us, you know, getting your first episodes out, what that was like, staring down the blank screen or staring down basically the microphone. Like, did it take a bunch of false starts? Did you erase a bunch and have to start over? Like, what did you do? What was your process, man?
Well, my first show was kind of funny because I actually ended up recording it twice. I think just twice. I did it at first, and I mean, I'm very new to all this stuff. I know how to run a computer, but I would not consider myself to be overly computer literate, especially with recording and voice and microphones and all that. So I just used the mic that's built into my computer. It did not come out good. Like it got worse and worse as the recording went, and I didn't actually go back and listen to the recording. I recorded the show. It was, like, I don't know, 40 minutes, 50 minutes of just me talking. And I just took the file and gave it to a friend of mine and said, listen to this, critique it, tell me what you think. And he was like, well, it was pretty good. It was interesting. But he said, I had a hard time hearing you. So I went back and started listening to it to do some editing. And I was just like, why? It was, the audio quality was so bad. I was like, there's no way I could put this out as my very first show. So I went and bought a headset and all this sort of stuff and hooked it up and then re-recorded the show. Actually, I don't even think – I think it was 30 minutes for the first one. And then when I re-recorded it, of course, I'd already done it once. So I kind of had a rehearsal, and then I went through and added a bunch of stuff and changed some things and was able to kind of – fix my dry run to make it better. And so it turned out a lot better. But yeah, it's a little bit daunting to start out all by yourself going, okay, I'm going to say something and I've got to, you know, sound like I know what I'm doing, even though I really don't. I know what I want to say and I believe what I want to, you know, what I'm saying. But to actually put it in a way that is appealing to listen to, that's a whole other thing. And I think I've achieve that with moderate success. I wouldn't say that I'm particularly eloquent once I, you know, when I'm talking. I find it's easier for me to put it all down on paper.
Well, I think you've improved a lot. Now, when you said you do rehearsal, do you actually like sort of read through once before recording and then like, are you actually reading off notes, or like when you said you write it down, were you serious or is it off the top of your head?
There's been at least one show where I've basically read it verbatim.
But you know, I can totally see that.
I can write. Well, usually when I write, I tend to write the same way I talk. Mm-hmm. And I can identify that. Oh, I'm just going to write this as if I this in the same sort of word structure and sentence structure as if I was talking. And so that makes it very easy for me to go back and read it. And I can read it as, and it sounds like I'm just saying it off the top of my head. Right? Because I've written it the way I would talk, I would say it.
Well, this certainly sounds like it's off the top of your head. You wrote this one out really well.
Yeah.
This is very natural.
This is very off the top of my head.
Yeah. But, well, actually, what we're in right now, we're in what's called a chat cast, which is basically people getting ready and, you know, chit-chat with each other and that sort of thing, which is a very popular form of cast. It's like sort of not so scripted and people just sort of having a conversation. But the solo cast, when people started solo casting like you and Canadian Service Conditions, I believe, had a bunch of solo cast episodes. I got scared for you guys because solo casting is tough.
I agree. It is. It's hard to pull it off.
And pre-writing, I am totally down with that. I totally agree with pre-writing. Because to me, the way to make a solo cast really pop, if I was to do one, I would try and do it like a books on tape. Like kind of like where you buy a novel, download it, and it's read by like James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman or something. Like that kind of thing, you know, where it's you know, it's all scripted, but the voice and inflection and all that, the audio quality and maybe some sound effects or music would be what would carry it through. But I'd be scared to do a solo cast without any of that. Like I don't think that's something that I would want to attempt. And so, you know, I was kind of worried that you guys might pod fade, you know, off of doing the solo cast because it's so daunting. Yeah. But
I had listened to a couple of good solo casters in the States. There's two or three that I listened to, had been listening to for quite a while. And so that helped a little bit because I was like, okay, this is how they do it. And this is, you know, kind of how they set up their show and how they talk. And now they're both better talkers than me and they carry a much better train of thought. They just use some notes and away they go. But at least I had a little bit of an idea. You know, I wasn't just listening to Canadian Reload Radio and Gun Dudes, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, I listened to some other shows, so I had a like, okay, this is how I'm going to lay it out, and these are the sorts of things I'm going to be able to get away with. I'm not going to be able to get away with this other stuff because I don't have that multiple host banter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm slowly trying to bring in some guests, and you know, Matthew's been on fairly regular and kind of get a little bit more of that format. The problem with solo casting, it is a lot of work.
It is, yeah.
And it's so because you got to have your together. You've got to have your notes, you know, outlined.
Wow, I think that's exactly the first time I've ever heard him say that word.
Yeah, he actually swore.
Yeah. I got to bleep that out now. You know that, right? I got to go through and you edit have, now you and actually bleep that Owen. Out. It's Owen's fault.
Well, actually, guys, I have never on any of the podcast episodes, CRR original or my own, ever sworn.
No.
Ever. I've never sworn. Mike Dixon did once in the original run, and I think Andy did twice in the first 25.
And he's done it 20 times since then.
But but Trevor, have you ever sworn on the podcast?
Oh. Yeah, I've bleeped Trevor a few times.
You bleeped him.
Yeah, the poop words come out, I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know,
that's more cussing than swearing.
Yeah, but,
yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've dropped an F-bomb or anything ridiculous like that. I mean, that's...
Oh my goodness! Now I've got to bleep that one out. Oh man!
You know what? No, Owen's right. A solo podcast is a hell of a lot of work, and I thought about if I ever did one, it would be so polished that I'd put
exactly
twice the effort into the editing than I would into the show. Because you know how
I spit
and sputter and stumble over words while reading during the regular cast and. Yeah. Blame it on the dyslexia or the Scotch, whatever you want. If it was my cast, nothing would get to air that wasn't perfect.
Right, which is why you don't edit or else it would never be a show out.
Yeah, well, it would, you know, they would be out, but it would take a lot longer to get them out or they'd be short cast that would be well edited because just for my own sake of pride, I wouldn't put anything out to air that had any fumbles or, you know, I mean, live TV is a heck of a lot harder than pre-recorded, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
that's why I'm trying to include other people. It's just I don't have a lot of time. I mean, I'm really strapped for time in my life. So, but I really want to. I feel that the stuff I have to say is important. Maybe that's hubris on my part. But
no, you're right because we agree with you. We thought it was so important that we encouraged you to start your own show. Just based on one letter, we were like, this guy needs his own show because he has so much to talk about that's so relevant.
I like the concept, too. It's a very timely concept, the whole... I mean, it sort of has swung towards prepping, but that's very timely. It's very now, and I think a lot of people are interested in it. And you gave yourself a decent breadth in terms of your subject matter, where you can use your show for a variety of different things. You didn't really pigeonhole yourself. Exactly. So that was smart. But let's talk about some of the more difficult... I mean, I think solo cast is the most difficult. But another one that's really difficult is the interview podcast, which is mostly what I do.
I was just going to say, you do that pretty much.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
And you guys do it too, to an extent. But the hardest thing I find about the interview podcast is the people I interview are very important, and their time is incredibly valuable. You know, if you're interviewing, let's say, Ed Berlew or Tony Bernardo or Keith Beasley of the Beasley Brothers, these are people whose time is worth a lot of money, and it's very precious, and they have a lot of time to commit to their own projects and to other things. So when I get them to sit down with me for 20 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour, I want to make absolutely sure that they don't feel that their time is being wasted. So when it goes into the interview, I do a lot of prep, tons of research. I'll show up with maybe between 2 and 6 pages of notes on just background and things to ask them and different varieties of questions and backup questions in case there's a topic that they don't want to talk about. I can switch over and I've got, you know, backup material.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about this now. What do you got for backup?
Exactly. And that happens. That you would not believe how often that happens. It's pretty amazing. So, you know, that's one of the pitfalls, is you have to be prepared if they don't want to talk about a certain subject. You know, you have to be able to switch gears and talk about something else.
Well, when we do it, just a kind of behind the scenes look here, whenever we contact somebody for an interview, we generally give them an advance on the questions. We say, this is what we'd like to ask you. And then I don't think we've yet had somebody say, nope, these won't work. So far we've done pretty good. There's been a couple of people who have said, let's not talk about this in any detail, but, you know, we can touch on it. But, you know, we haven't had any. And I think that's kind of one thing on our part, is whenever we do our interviews, it's usually over Skype. We don't meet them in person, and so we don't have to really worry about time constraints, because we've said we're going to do it at this time, and here's the questions just by email. And so that kind of helps us anyway eliminate some of those issues that you have. But sounds like you put a lot of thought into all of this stuff.
Yeah, well, my interviews are all in person. I never do them over the internet. They're always sitting right next to the person I'm interviewing.
Yeah, and which makes a big difference.
Yeah, like I'd say the ones that you guys do are more in line with television news or radio news type interviews.
Oh, for sure. Something has just happened. Yeah. Let's talk about this real quick before we let you go, so we can continue on with the show.
Yeah, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. That's how mainstream media works. So you're actually following the format of the largest, most successful companies in the world. But when I do one, I want to do the in-depth, behind-the-scenes story that mainstream media will not tell you, that they won't bother to tell you, that they won't bother to research. And so, you know, in doing that, you have to be able to cite your sources. You have to be accurate. And I try as hard as – I mean, of course, I have a pro-gun bias. But within that, I try and be as objective as possible and just let the guest tell their story. I'm not there to – In fact, the one thing that's always struck me as funny about the podcast is that I've never thought that anyone ever tunes in to listen to me. Like, I mean, who would? They're not here to hear Chris Anderson talk. I mean, on today's episode they are, because we don't have a famous person on, but, you know,
The warrior here. Come on, man.
We got Owen.
Well, we're all podcasters, but we don't have, let's say, Tony Bernardo on today, right?
Right, yeah.
But if I throw down a Tony Bernardo episode, they're tuning in to listen to Tony Bernardo.
Right.
Like that's it.
Not necessarily, Chris. They're tuning in to hear the questions that you're going to ask Tony and pull things out of Tony. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to throw it on you. You asked us what's the coolest thing that has happened to us as a result of podcasting. So Matthew got all sappy and talked about friends and stuff. But let's put that same question to you. Now, first of all, I'm going to ask you 3 questions.
Oh, okay.
What did you have for breakfast? How did you get involved in guns? And what is the coolest thing that's happened to you as a result of podcasting?
You forgot to ask him where he was born and raised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll answer those too. But, you know, that whole breakfast thing, it's interesting. And this is a tip for people who want to do podcast interviews. If you're a podcaster, take heed, because this is good advice. When you sit down with someone, you're going to want to get a mic level. But if you ask someone to do a mic check, they won't know what you're talking about if they've never been interviewed before. Tony Bernardo is great to interview, and so is Ed Berlew. Like, they've been interviewed a million times by professional media, so they'll do a mic check all day long. But, you know, average folks, they're like, what's a mic check? So all you have to do is just get them talking and disarm them, because people get nervous. It's like people get, you know, phobia when they take a test. You know, if you tell someone, oh, just do this, they do it, and you say, oh, this is a test, and it's timed, and suddenly they freak out. So it sort of puts people at ease. But today, what did I eat for breakfast? I ate a muesli breakfast pita and a glass of water. I was born in Toronto at St. Michael's Hospital, downtown near the Moss Park Armory. And I grew up my whole life in Toronto. Actually, this is the only place I've ever lived. And the coolest...
Strange, because you seem so nice.
You know what? That is... And this is the coolest thing about the podcast, and it also ties in.
Oh, before that, how'd you get into... How'd I get into guns?
It's interesting. I got into guns through prepping, actually. So I started prepping, and then, you know, throughout doing the preps and getting things together, you know, I just sort of got more and more interested and actually started off with archery. I have a bow, and I've never really talked about it.
Kind of
bow. It's a composite recurve. Sorry. It's like a 32-pound bow. It's just a target bow with like really light tips on the end. But I got into archery, really enjoyed that.
You just basically said to me the word clip and clip? Assault rifle. I'm just saying. We'll talk later.
Oh, okay.
But in my world, that's what you just said.
All right. But, you know, I'd go out, shoot the bow. Enjoyed it. And then, you know, gradually got more and more interested in shooting. Ended up going to Target Sports, tried shooting for the first time. Enjoyed it. Signed up for the firearms education course. Got the PAL and RPAL. And then from there, it just sort of took off and kept going. So that's how I got into the guns. And the coolest thing actually ties in with my personality, which is kind of weird. Because I am the kind of person that people talk to. And I don't know why they choose to talk to me. If someone's lost, well, it doesn't matter like sort of how I look or where I am. I could be in the subway and there could be 700 people on the subway platform. If someone's lost, they'll come up and ask me for directions. They'll never ask anyone else. It's always me. So people are always walking up to me and talking with me. And people are also always telling me their life story, which is also kind of strange. It's like complete strangers could sit down next to me. And the next thing I know, they're telling me their most intimate of secrets. So the most interesting part of doing the podcast is very early on, people started to tell me secret stuff that quite obviously no one is supposed to know. And it could be stuff about products. It could be stuff about politics. It could be stuff about laws. It could be stuff about just about anything, really. And the first couple of times it happened, I thought they were testing me to see if I would say it on the podcast. Because I thought, you know, they're trying to feel me out and see if they can trust me. And if they listen to the podcast and I blabbed something that was a secret, then they'd know never to talk to me about anything important ever again. So I always kept every secret. And I've never told any of them. But the thing is that I know some amazing things that very few people know. Like I know about products that exist that if you knew they existed, it would blow the top of your head off. But I can't
Give
tell
you. Give us a few examples, Chris.
You know, tune in next week for all of the juicy details.
And I've also been given, well, not given, but, you know, had people go, hey, come here. I want to show you something. And next thing you know, I'm holding something in my hands that no one's ever seen before, no one's ever used before. They're like, oh, here, check it out. And I can't say anything about it. I have to wait, you know, months and months and months until it's officially announced or whatever before I can actually talk about it.
Yeah, that's
so. So it is amazing. It's a personal experience because I can't share it with anyone. But the funny thing is that the most amazing things that you will ever hear will never be on the podcast. It will never be recorded on MP3. Every guest I've ever sat down with has told me things that when the mic was turned off that were just mind-blowing.
Off the record comment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you'll get that. If you do podcasts, you will get that, especially if you demonstrate that you're a trustworthy person. And so the most amazing thing is knowing things before they happen, knowing things before anyone else knows them, or knowing things that no one else knows. And that is sort of the coolest part of doing the podcast for me. It's also frustrating as well. And at times very strange because I'm standing there with an MP3 recorder. And they're telling me stuff that should not be recorded. So sometimes it just, I've even asked people like, why are you telling me this? Because I'm the guy who records stuff and tells the world. And they're like, oh, we just thought you'd like it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Chris, I have to tell you, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on this week's show. We definitely got to have you back again sometime. It sounds like you got way more stuff to talk about, but our time is coming to an end here. So,
okay, wait here. I gotta throw something down for you. Hold on a second.
All right.
There we go.
Wow.
Beauty.
And that
I feel like I'm four again.
That was great being on the podcast. I haven't done the actual internet podcast thing in so long. So thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's been great. I love what you guys are doing with the Shoot in the Breeze. It's a lot of fun. And I really do like the Warriors ethos. It's good stuff, and I'm looking forward to more episodes and also Canadian service conditions. Everybody who's doing their thing. And, of course, Radio Velocité. I've only listened to one episode, and it was all in French, and I don't speak French. But I listened to try and pick up the sound quality. And they did mention Trevor, I think. And there were a couple of other things in English. And maybe even Matt. I don't know. But I heard a few English things. So I did listen to it. But, you know, I hope for those who listen in French that they're listening to Radio Velocité Quebec, because it sounds pretty cool.
Very good. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And stay tuned, because you never know when the next show is going to come out.
Spoiler alert. There's a Scottish guy who wants to be on the show. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. We'll see if we can work that out. Is it Mike Myers?
Nah.
Hey, you, get down your big head. Ah, head. He'll just hit down.
Down in front. He's going to climb himself to sleep on his huge pillar.
Oh, very good. All right, all. Later.
Yep. Good night.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.